The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Because we have a lot of people listening to the program, and here in the program, we wanted to make a contribution on the line right now. Our former Central Division Head, Senior Superintendent Johnny Abraham. Boy, good afternoon to you, Mr. Abraham.
Good afternoon to you and all your listeners, the viewers, on the other and the two.
I remember a time when you said the only gang you want in Chaguanas is the Ghost Gang. You had them in.
Not the Ghost Gang. The gang and the people gang.
Well, not the kind of Ghost Gang that we know, but that's the only gang you wanted. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. So we're talking about youths getting involved in the crime. Of course, you being in the service for so many years, you would have seen. I'm sure it's kind of worse now than it was back then, but you would have seen a lot of young people getting involved in crime. Why is it that crime, is so attractive to young people, especially young men?
All right. Well, I don't really even attractive to them. But what we have in society now is a kind of fast life. These men want to live a kind of fast life. And in order to do that, they want to get fast money because they want to bling and all kind of things like that. They have parents. In addition to that, I find the police officers doesn't interact too much again with the youth. For example, when I was in charge of Central Division, I walk together from Lunanville to Tabaki. That is about nearly 15 miles, and we formed 7 or 8 youth clubs. And they was functioning so much that I used to have to get the police bus to take them to see Turtle, to take them on a little excursion and thing, and keep them close. And we always had that kind of interaction. You see them on the road, I bring this up, they say, hey, where's the police with you, man? Why are you not home? Why are you not in school? You don't find that kind of interaction again.
Yeah, especially now, so we have July, August vacation. I think something like that is absolutely necessary, even if it's a police vocational youth group, or youth club.
Well, all right. And you see, it's the same thing I just tell police officers. What makes me, to me, as a good career officer, I just stop and talk to the man who was selling provision. The man was selling apple on the side of the road. The man was selling cane, right? Even the drug man, if I say, hey, let me tell you something, if I catch you again, your case, I can't stop you from selling my own, but if I catch you again, your case, you know that. You're talking to them. You see now, you might go on a patrol in the night, you see a prostitute, you stop, you talk to them. These are the people who will bring back information to you, but now, with cameras on you, you're not my police, you can stop. You see a woman on the side of the road, you stop to talk to see everybody have you on camera, look at the police doing and things. No, and next thing, your whole life, youth man, for a joint of marijuana. In my days, when I hold a man for a joint of marijuana outside and he's smoking, and from the time he see me and he mashed it up, I know he given me respect. So what I will do, I will call in his parents and tell them, look, X, Y, and Z, and talk to him. But right now, the reason why police have had to take certain kind of action is because if you do a child that now, the family want to put you in court. Oh, you assault the child. You carry the child in the station. Unlawful detention.
Yeah.
And once that child and one liar. So the police have to be careful how you interact with the children on the road, when they were not with their parents and some by themselves. You have to be very careful.
So that their parents they would want to reprimand police officers for keeping their children in check, that you as a parent not doing your job?
Right. And that's what we have. But we know that because here what they do. If you hold on the children in the station, on an inquiry, they bring in a lawyer, which their right is entitled to. But he kind of remarks the parents coming and saying, oh, you're targeting my child. Why are you going to a Harry child, a Tom child, a Brown child, or this man child? My child is a poor child. They're coming to find out what the boy do and how we could sit down and interact with that child and make him change that road he's going on. I remember some years ago, I was working St. Joseph in charge of homicide up in that area. And an old woman about 80 years, an old Indian woman from Bangladesh, come in the station crying, boy. Monday, Tuesday, I go back and she crying. I called her. I said, Mom, what happened, Mama? Come, Mama, tell me. She said, my son has 15 years later. And the boy beat him up for my pension every month. Tiana, my heart went to that woman.
Yeah.
And I sent her and I bring that little boy in the station and I deal with him. I wouldn't tell you how. But after he hugged shop, he said, Mama, I wouldn't do it again. And anytime that woman saw me about a year after that, she took come and hugged me up. And the little boy, when he see me, he said, boss, I get a little work and thing and I settle down.
Very good, very good. Just a little intervention it needed.
That's all it needed. But it has some areas you're going to talk to a child and say, but bossman, why are you playing on the road? And he gave attitude. Where your mother? Who's your father? And he said, come on, will you tell him my child could walk on the road? He's the government road. All right, look at simple thing. The government telling you now, we wanted to walk with our identification, a formal identification. People making all kind of hollow about that.
Boy,
but
people have a problem with
that. Countries, look at countries, I think it's El Salvador, where they're holding criminal and just throwing them in the jail ghetto. We have reached to that stage, and we don't want to reach to that stage. But, all right, you apply for a firearm, they tell you you have to walk with your firearm book, otherwise it's an offense. They tell you you're driving a car, your mother, you're driving permit with you. So what is the big thing? You over 16 or 17 years, and they tell you you have to walk with a former ID. But how that come dictatorship? Right? But the next thing too, look, I watching a little 15-year-old boy going in a party with a gold bracelet and he valued $50,000 and somebody pepper spray him and take it. That is over the weekend here.
Like
O2 Park or something, right?
Yeah, the party they are down there.
And I am saying, where the parents was when he was going in the party, they tell him, hey, you see this time? No, it's not a time to be doing them things if I'm not there with you. And even if I'm there with you, you have to be very cautious because I myself can get in trouble.
Mm-hmm. He's 15
now,
years
I have
old.
Children and grandchildren, and I just make sure, I just call them every hour. What are you doing? The door lock? Make sure and lock your door. You go in the kitchen, you find out, lock it and go in the kitchen. How long it taking you to turn and lock on the door, boy? Right?
Right.
Now it's cool time. Now it's vacation time. You find, I believe that the community police should not be concentrating on wrong certain areas. It don't have a functioning youth club now from Lonaville to Branson.
Oh.
You don't have any. It just dropped. The situation just dropped just so. Right? And they concentrate on the thing like 500 and Enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
And would you believe those are the hot spot region, the most crime where the police concentrating on to spend resources to talk to the youth and them and apparently the youth and them not listening or I don't know the police are reaching out to them.
No, but why does he think the youth's not listening? What, we're not reaching them the right way, you're not talking to them the right way, the medium, why they're not listening?
Well, you see, you can't go Monday in a school and tell them, listen, I want so and so and so and I expect for them to do so and so and next time you see them is next 2 months. You go to the school Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, follow up. You have little conference and you want to find out who the children giving problem in the school. You pull them one time and ask them, what is the situation? Sometimes a child might come in the school hungry or just saying.
Yeah, it have different reasons, yeah.
And you have nothing to go by. His shoe might have a burst in it. You don't want to go to school because his shoe burst. And this is where the community police come in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you take that child and say, come. A pair of shoes is X, come. We're going to get a pair of shoes for you. You're missing a book bag, we go and get it for you. Right? And you interact with this children in a way like it's your own children. All right, I see they want to put police.
Well, I'm not going to ask you about that, but the police in schools, what do you think about that?
They want to put police by school. Hear what everybody in this country is saying. Even the State Police Association, you know why? They're singing for their supper. Well, how you can send police by the school with fire? Anybody say you're sending police by the school with fire? Even though the police is on patrol with the fire and something happened by the school, the same police with the fire responding to go by the school.
Right?
We're not going to shoot nobody. We're not mad. It might have an unfortunate situation, but I not see nothing wrong with a police officer going by the school. And then parents saying they will intimidate the children and they will do this. I remember, boss man, I used to have a police vehicle park up by Montrose Junction. We had a school. They used to always have fight by Montrose by KFC Junction. And I put some police officers there, some dedicated officers. And after about a month, man, these children used to come and interact with the police and they're going up the road peaceful, no fight, no violence. They're jumping in the market, they're going up the road. and I still have an effect up to now. You understand?
Mm-hmm,
so this is how you interact with people, and then parents and all have to take some plenty of the blame.
Parents.
They don't want a neighbor to tell you, you're right on the hard on the road, you're going to go home. Don't do that. That's my child. That's the government road, and that's the attitude we have in this country now.
Terrible. Do you think parents should be held accountable, especially if your child is underage? Look at this 14-year-old brandishing gun and thing in your own home. Do you think parents should be held accountable for their children for the wrongdoing?
I don't think they should be held accountable. They should be before the court.
Right, okay, all that.
Yeah, so I don't want to use the word accountable. I want them to let them go before the court, and I want the deafness that they start to take care of the children and their home and the surrounding.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah. And everything the child do, they will monitor that child. Look at boss, see what me it hurt my heart to see these little boy and them getting killed. When I used to walk homicide, people would say I racial and racial, but I should talk facts.
Yeah.
You're going to the forensic center on a Monday morning. I was in charge of homicide up in Aruka, that region area. Mova, to Toko, to straight up the table land side and that side, Grandy all about, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when you go in the forensic on a Monday morning, you see 10 people lie down on the slab dead. Out of that 10, 9 is approaching that end. Right?
Yeah.
And when you talk about it, people say, you're racial. You're putting in hate on the African people.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the reality.
Yeah.
That is the reality.
Mm-hmm. I mean, look, you just said there was a East Indian grandmother. You know, her son was thinking up for a pension. I mean, it happens on both races, but the reality is the reality.
Well, this is what I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I sit down in the station in Aruka and they shot a little 4-year-old boy through a burglar puff boy.
Yeah.
And I cry along with that thing when I reach. You know why I cry? Because I didn't get to intercept the car with this criminal on them. And that's why I cry. Because you don't know what that happened already. You watching a 4-year-old child, you're going to kill the father, you're find the father.
Yeah, but
and
you shoot the child.
8 shots in the back.
Wow.
4-year-old child just lean over the computer he was playing. And that child died right there, boy. You could imagine what went through my mind, brother. If I just bumped up that car, boy. Yeah, man. This place is sickening, man. It's sickening. Yes. Even in school. Yeah, you just go by any primary school.
Yeah.
And stand up at the gate in the evening.
Hmm.
You wouldn't like to hear the obscene language.
The kind of language, yeah. But I just hear them in the streets sometimes, what these young boys will be talking about, boy.
Yeah. It's the young girls and them now.
Oh, the girls. Yeah, the girls and them are even fighting and all, too.
And it's them, some of the young girls were causing the fight by the school gate and them. And then the young boys jumping in to show them what they could do.
Yeah.
So we know how to... That's why they build the juvenile court to start it. And the juvenile police station to start it. You know why? The foreseeders coming with violence in school.
Yeah.
Call them. I said in my childhood school, look, I just went and bought for my 2 granddaughters. One is 4 years and one is and 10 years. It cost almost $2,000 and I didn't get a house for the book yet, right? So I do that from now. Today I went and buy the book. So as a matter of fact, I'm now going home.
Yeah.
And I sent in my childhood school to learn. And you disrupting my child and telling me that you must suspend your child who coming to school with bad behavior. How that my daughter don't want to go back to school? So how am I going to live with that now? Because she said, I'm going to school.
Yeah.
You know how some parents feel when they send their little child to the primary school and when they reach by the gate and pick them up. They're so happy to see them alive. Look where we reach. But if you go change that. Give us a little chance, we go change that.
You gotta change that, boy. Mr. Johnny Abraham, man, thank you very much for the call, sir. You hear any passion in your voice and keep up the good work, you know?
Yeah, man, you keep good, man. Thank you.
All right, man, thank you very much. Yeah, man.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.